If you didn't see it,
Lear de Beauceney,
Gallet stayed here for.
She has written a play that's opening next week based on the New Yorker article. And the star is the guy playing me.
Yeah, we saw that picture last night.
Oh, you did?
Mm-hmm. Harry had it.
I showed it to our moms.
Oh, wonderful. Anyway.
Can you download the poster?
That may be your Saturday.
No, it's off Broadway.
Open Saturday night.
Is it Saturday?
No, not yet. Then again.
Then again.
Wynn was lobbying to go for opening night.
I'd love to hear what they have to say.
Yeah, it's pretty.
I don't think I need to do all this again about what divination, observer of times, enchanter, witch, charmer, consulter, familiar spirits, wizard, necromancer.
Where are we?
We're just reviewing right now.
What is a necromancer?
Someone who gives breath to the dead. Today there are a jillion other things that have become that are of the same ilk. Channeling, clairvoyance, hypnotism, teleportation, psychokinesis, telepathy, psychometry, astrology. All of them are efforts to determine what's going to happen next or to wow somebody into thinking that that person is special. There's a million others if you are in some. You know, when I was at Mount Athos at that 900-year-old monastery that Saki and I stayed in, they just regaled you with stories down below, between where the monastery is on the kind of on top of the hill and down by the ocean. There are whole bunches of caves, and for centuries, monks have lived in those caves. And so they start ascribing all of these stories. It's everything that you can imagine that's ever been said about what a Hindu mystic can do. They all ascribe the same stories to these monks. I mean, the thing that I want to concentrate on this morning is to get a feel for what Adam possessed before the fall. And to see that all of these things, including the way that our mind works, is just a vain shadow of what he was able to do. As natural as breathing. If you believe Benny Hinn, he could fly. He went to the moon.
You were just thinking he would be there.
But without making up all those stories, just inferring from what the scriptures say, you can get an incredible picture of Adam, which is the human race before the fall. Anybody interested in this kind of stuff?
Only in terms of repentance. Not in terms of how to. Not how to.
The first thing he lost was a single mind. There was, and I firmly believe it, that there was no difference between conscious and subconscious. There was just no awareness of self. And so the effect of the fall was to cause there to be self-consciousness.
as there is self-consciousness, thereby there by definition there is a feeling of separation. What, Mr. John? You started smiling. Huh?
I don't know why. Maybe you're right, gas or something.
Let's go to Genesis 1. In verse 26, and God said, "Let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." Now, by having dominion, there had to be incredible physical prowess. There had to be something about him that caused everything else to be in subjection to him, because to have dominion means everything else is in subjection. Now, this is what a sect of Christianity today is trying to restructure, recover, and it's called the dominionist theology. And their view of it is that the Christians have to get control of everything, of the media, the movies, the broadcasting, the radio, the sport, anything, everything. And that then they will then establish the kingdom of God on earth. The whole mystery of the fall caused the kingdom of God to move from being on earth to in earth. And that's the one issue that all heresy misses. Can you understand that? See that? The kingdom of Jesus said it plainly. He said, "The kingdom of God cometh not by observation, for the kingdom of God is within you." And so you are the temple of the living God. You're not God. You're not, as Copeland says, you're not little Christs. In Genesis 2, verse 19, it says, "And out of the ground God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living thing, every living creature, that was the name thereof." Now, to name it was an act of dominion. It was the fruit of dominion. That's a kind of I don't want to go there, but if you don't understand it, talk to me later. But you can't have dominion over something until you name it. And by definition then, the fall could not have happened until he named, and the fall could only happen after he named. Because otherwise there was no awareness of separation. So there's no need to think that you needed anything. As long as you have an awareness of separation from the first source, then you will always think of yourself to be in need. There's something that you need. Something needs to change. Something needs to be different than it is, because you're separate from the first source. And this is why it's Christ in you, the hope of glory, because then there is no separation. By faith, you are connected. Well, you're connected, but you can't only know it by faith. The other thing he did was in Genesis 2, go back up to verse 15. "And the Lord took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and keep it." Now, you know, we really don't know how big the Garden of Eden was, even if it was a parable, but we know it was huge. And so to dress it and keep it is the idea of managing it. So he had incredible ability for managerial control, for physical prowess, for mental abilities. You know, the Talmud is full of stories about how perfect Adam was and how beautiful Eve was. Anyway, we won't go there. After the fall, he in that position of knowing, not knowing, but being, was to transform the innocence of his position through whatever antagonism happened to hit. Innocence transformed by antagonism becomes holiness. That's what the whole idea of holiness means. It's not, and therefore, it's the idea of what a saint means. You're not a saint by somebody's declaration. You're a saint by what you contain and it having been fully tested. So, as we know, Adam failed. We don't know how many of the tests that he passed, but we know the big one that he failed to be, which was to be like God, knowing good and evil. Knowing and control. I mean, he already had control, he just didn't appreciate it. So now, after the fall, in Genesis 3, it's, in the sweat of thy face shall thou eat thy bread, and the dust shall be your food. So instead of the food being God himself, now it was other things made of dust that can never satisfy, that's Adam's food. Now, he was simply a living soul, but Christ was a life-giving spirit. Just for your spirit is God consciousness, soul is self consciousness, and body is world consciousness. But those are just words that essentially spirit is eternal, that has the capacity to move within time. Well, without regard to space, that which is time simply is that which is dependent on both time and space, and the Father, which is true eternity, is a part of yet outside of all of time and space. And so our goal, a gift of God, is eternal life, is to transform this whole process. Everything that you do, you try to do from the outside in. And everything that God goes from the inside out, because the inside, the life of Christ in you, is the only thing that he's paying any attention to. So everything you do outwardly, which includes all your mental activity, only, from God's perspective, it's rebellion, and it's all of these things that we talked about that are forbidden after the fall. And everybody, at least on the same page for a minute.
I'm sorry, it feels strange in here to me this morning. Something feels disconnected. I don't think it's me, but I feel something strange.
I'm like, where are we at? Where are we going? I know I came here late. Let's finish up.
Well, you have to listen to the tape. I'm not going to repeat it again. We're in Genesis 1 now.
How much is the tape?
Talk to the.
First of all, okay.
Are you okay, Sue? Mm-hmm. All right. So, as I said yesterday, every religion has as its goal the union with God, normally by some type of discipline, some rule keeping, some. Every religion has healing. Every religion has speaking in tongues. Every religion has almost all of the. Every religion has all of the gifts of the Spirit, but they don't have the fruit of the Spirit. And that's why everything about what you believe and what you listen to must be put to the test of multiplying, i.e. taking it to the end. Think of the best things that you could think about and take it to the end, the final end, and you'll find it's just emptiness. Now this is especially true, and it's typified. That's why it's so easy to understand the futility of your life, of your thoughts, if you hear what Jesus said. He said, if you even think about having lusting after a woman, you've already done it. But the way your mind works is you take the lust and you take it to the point of full satisfaction, and your fantasy is that you stay there. Or you have a climax and you forget about it. And that's the same thing. That's the picture of what you do with every idea and plan and reality that you create in your mind. And it's just, it's the most ridiculous thing that, from God's standpoint. It's just goofy, because what it means is if you cannot learn by empathy, i.e. by getting close enough to something or observing others to see that the thing that you think you want is empty and futile, then you've got to be like Adam. You've got to live 930 years to find out the end. That's why everything from when we start, when it starts about Adam as the type, I mean Abraham as the type, and then the following, everything had to do with these small groups of 10 to 20 people. Because then by experience, and that's what defined our age limited to, you know, to 70. Because in the construct of that body, if you share your experiences instead of hiding them, then what you're doing is you're benefiting that person, so he will be able to learn from your experience by empathy that the thing that you think you want is stupid. That's why every time we've had, over the 30 years, an unbelievable number of marriage counseling or divorce counseling or whatever, I've always said, when a couple came to me to get married, right that moment, that time, it's the best it's going to ever be. From that point forward, it's going downhill. And nobody believes it. They all think that they're going to be the exception. And that's why the sexual fantasies are so typical. They typify all of the other ones. I mean, again, I'll pick on Gary because he's so easy. But everybody does it. Gary's his whole sustenance for 30-some the years that I've known him, up until hopefully recently, has been eating the future or eating something he doesn't have, and he gets his sustenance and satisfaction from that thing that he thinks up, and then he ends up being in so total debt because he's already spent whatever enjoyment he's going to have, and so nothing ever goes right. Is that a fair description?
I had that very thought this morning while looking in the mirror.
And every one of you are the same. Because every human being is the same. That you've gone through life, even after becoming a believer, and your mind still works out this Harry. It's Harry wants to be, you know, the savior of Trinity. In almost every project, he thinks that if he does this well, then Trinity will not go away and he won't have to go back to New Jersey and live alone. Now that's a simplified, but it's still the same thing. It's a sexual fantasy from God's perspective. Am I communicating at all? This is the engine of the world. The whole idea of everything the world wants from you is ambition. Ambition is meaningless unless there is a perceived lack. That's why throughout all of history there was essentially no changes until the concept of zero was invented. And that permitted a thought process that said there was a possibility to have a zero, therefore it had to be filled. Is anybody seeing the depth of this, or am I not being able to communicate? It's systemic to the way of the mind. It isn't some kind of mind activity that you're going to change. When Brother Ronnie here, Ronnie spent years and years and years going from pillar to post to get delivered from certain addictions so that he could be normal. And so last night we were sitting in the porch. You don't want me to, you don't, I'm, huh? You want to tell a story? Well, I'll make it brief, but, and he was talking about all his fear and everything and of what's been happening with his having to go on dialysis and all the issues about it and all the other stuff. And he was essentially leading up, I think, to, he was saying something about, I just want to, What did you say? You remember? I don't know if any of this is worth it. Yeah. And so I said, well, what you need to do is go be delivered. Because in his mind, everything that's going on in him, the solution is to get it fixed, to be delivered from it. Right? I mean, everybody, and again, what we do the same thing. It's like 90% of the women in the world that I've ever met seem like they thought that if they met the right person or won the lottery, then, and so their relationships were always based on need. And I promise you, if anything, any relationship, anything is based on need, will always fail. Because it's coming from the wrong source. And so what I'm trying to get you to see is no matter, even in the so-called most innocent thought process, from God's perspective, it's fornication. Because you're going to the whore that's sitting on the seven mountains of your mind for sustenance rather than living as the small child in dependence on Him. That's why all those activities are forbidden that we've read about in Deuteronomy. And that's what we have to at least see. About all of these mental tricks and gymnastics that the human race does naturally, we have to see from, just if you just see it for a minute, if you can agree with it at the core, that I confess the Lord Jesus, that's what that means, then your obedience has been fulfilled. And then from then on, it becomes a small issue because you know your obedience has been fulfilled, and so you just then cast down every imagination and every high place that's exalted itself against the knowledge of God. And you bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. But what does that mean? It means you are saying that every possible thought I had, even the thoughts that were about God stuff, are vain and empty. And I am not being apprehended. I am still trying to apprehend.
What happened at the end of that conversation?
What?
What happened at the end of that conversation?
At the end, you broke out laughing. You laughed for 15 minutes. You laughed harder than I've seen you laugh in 10 years.
I wasn't expecting
it. When I told him he wanted to be delivered from self, and then, anyway.
I just experienced what you said. Just what you said. I experienced that last night. When I laid down to go to sleep, I started having my sweet little thoughts. And I thought, I think I'll just repent of this. So it was real hard because those are just you know, they're precious little things. So I repented, but another one came instantly. I thought, oh, damn, there's another one. So I repented. And I found it very difficult. But it was like it was so out there on the edge that wonderful little thought I was having was what kept me from God, kept me from being empty. But I never had the wherewithal to realize the fullness of that, because the thoughts were sweet and beautiful. And, you know, I just play it.
That's why I've always said to you, you have to share them. Especially with your wife. Because that's the only way. That's why we need each other so badly. Because if you're alone trying to deal with this, you will all be, you're trying to use Satan to cast, you're trying to use the Antichrist to get rid of the Antichrist. It can't work.
But I just started telling Michelle everything, you know, just talking to her a lot. And I started to see that she was just sick of it. You know, it's like, that. You know, and it made me see, it's like, that. You know, stop.
Well, that's what a marriage is. The purpose of marriage isn't to produce a bunch of more punks of protoplasm. The purpose of marriage is to be a revelator to the rest of the body, because it's a blessing and a curse to be married. It's not, but our culture privatizes it, and so therefore you privatize yourself once you reach a point of where if your expectations aren't being met in your partner, then a whole series of things begin to happen in your mind. You begin to keep selling out over and over and over and over, and you sell out to the point where you're not even married anymore, and your life is based in a series of truces that you will not bring up certain subjects, and you will not remind them of certain things that happened. And you will not bring up these other things that went on back here, and you won't talk about this, and in fact, just don't talk to me at all. Does that sound familiar
Absolutely.
To anybody?
Absolutely. You get to the point where you sit down to dinner and you can't. There's no conversation. There's nothing you can say.
But that's why. But see, the whole purpose of community is so the same. It's so that there are more opportunities for that kind of intimate sharing, because that's why a church had to have at least 10, but no more than 20 people. Because otherwise your life just continues on in the same old way, and you will automatically try to use this mystery of God to your benefit, and you think you're not. And so the whole purpose of it is to see the evilness of your own mind. I mean, Paul said it too. He said, "I thought that if I thought by keeping the commandments it would lead to life, but no, it led to death." He had no idea that the idea of wanting more than he had or wanting conditions to be there until he finally saw by the Spirit what thou shalt not lust means. And then all of a sudden, his whole mind became a joke to him. And that's the same thing that happened in me, it happens in everybody. That your ideas of opinions about style or dress or politics or anything are just, they become odious to you. They're just no more sweet little, they're not little sweet little self things that you worship in your little private temple. They become sickening. That's what it means to bring forth fruit necessary for repentance. Because those thoughts to you then become and are what the scriptures call the familiar spirits. What?
That's funny.
Isn't that what I've been saying for 30 some years?
Yeah, but you just get it. It's funny.
It's hilarious.
Familiar spirits, which you thought were your friends, but suddenly when you see that they're familiar spirits and what their real purpose is.
That's what those counselors are in Ezekiel 8. That's your board of governors up here, but they're nothing. They're not real or corporeal. And so the whole.
You give them lots of power.
Well, the only way you can give anything power is by giving it importance. That's why you love. That's why this thing about love is so critical. Love in the scriptures is a verb. And it just means what you give importance to. And I promise you that you've given far more importance to those familiar spirits in your mind than you've ever given to God. Because that's what love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. That's what it means, that you give breath only to Him.
There's no trick here.
There's no trick.
Now, let me tell you about the trick. The trick of the love, just what I say right now, it's not to, now I'm going to think about God and give Him importance and embrace Him.
You can't.
With my Antichrist mind. And then fool myself into thinking I'm doing God's will. You love Him through abandonment.
That's right.
Not through.
You love Him through emptying, total emptying.
Right, you lay your life down.
But can you hear what He said? He said, many will come to Me in that day saying, Lord, Lord, I did all this wonderful stuff in Your name. I thought these great thoughts about You.
Yeah.
And He shall say, depart from Me, I never knew You, ye worker of iniquity. All that iniquity means, it's self-seeking. Maybe finally, after 30 years, some might be hearing.
Some of you might be starting to get it.
I mean, you can go back and listen to the tapes or read what I wrote in 75. It's the same thing. But you can see why it's only through the foolishness of preaching and abiding that men are saved. That's what I said about all of us, me and Gary and Josanna and Judy and John, that are supposed to be the elders. The only thing, we have no talent, we have nothing. The only thing we've done is hung around.
Except we just didn't get it at first. We may not be getting it.
If you ever got it, I promise you, in those early years, if you would have gotten it, you would have been gone.
You'd be Larry Lee.
The infamous statement by one of, I guess it was Rick, when this has staggering implications.
Sorry, that word of prophet.
Yeah.
Staggering. Doug said staggering implications.
So how do you know something is of the Spirit then? We said we learn by multiplying. How do you know it's this mystery that's guidance from only Him? Well, I promise you, in order to find out what it is, you have to wait. Because I'm gonna pray to You, God, and then I'll pray to You again, and I'll pray to You again. I may even give You a few more prayers, but then I'm gonna take it into my own hands. Well, that's not obedience. That's just crazy.
If you'll just get it started, I'll take it from here.
Yeah. That's God helps those that help themselves. Well, I just noticed we're out of time. So tomorrow we'll study the only way I can describe it is how I tested all these things that are going on up here.
This is the first time I think I might believe what you say.
I mean, that's not true. I do, but every time I do, I end up in a few seconds saying, "Forgive me, Father."
Yeah, I think I understand that now. Until last night, I never really believed it, actually. I thought you just
BS. You think I was lying?
Yeah.
Then which would you think, what would I be telling you that wasn't a lie then?
Well, who knows? I mean, I was deceived, obviously, but I couldn't comprehend it. I mean, I thought, why is he even saying that? He couldn't. But if it seemed right, then I understand how you can say that, because you tested all thought or whatever and seen that they really are foolish, and it's stupid to keep thinking. But if you never get to that point, somebody tells you that, you say, oh, I couldn't.
Because you always stop at the sexual climax instead of taking it to the waking up next to her.
But it's not always sex. I mean,
it is always sex.
Any sweet thought.
That's what it is. From God's perspective, it's fornication. That's why he said, marry the whore.
Marry a wife of whore.
And she didn't improve. He wasn't marrying her so that he could reform her. He was marrying her so that Israel could see what they were doing. Then he had him. Ezekiel laid on his side, and for however many days, 300 and a whole bunch of days, I don't remember how many, he had to eat barley cakes mixed with his own dung to show Israel what they were doing by keeping going back and back and back after something they'd gone through and seen the end of, and then they keep going back to it for sustenance. The way Paul said it is a dog returning to his own vomit. Now, you get mad at me when we take field trips. Or you weren't. You didn't take... Bananas used to get mad at me.
Yeah, it just makes me realize all of my words that might say I trust God or whatever are absolutely meaningless, because it's in this little arena where it's tested, and I never succeeded.
But again, those that say, oh, I believe in God, oh, praise the Lord, you just believe in the God that you've invented. You've made him the chief god among your many Balaam. And he's jealous. That's why it's just crazy. Remember, there can't be two. There can't be God and the devil, because when there's two, then they multiply. That's why in India, there are over how many now? 5 million? Named gods in India. Well, I promise you, you're right up there with them, Ronnie. Don't go, oh God. No, they just have to all be seen as goofy, pitiful. I went over more time. Take it, big guy.
You went over going over.
I went over going over.